tonight at La Peña, The Furious Force of Rhymes. And this is going to be co-presented with Students for Hip Hop out of Berkeley. And it's representing hip hop in Germany, Senegal, Palestine, Israel, France, and right here in the USA. And filmmaker Josh Little is in the building with us. How you doing?
Good, thanks. How you doing, David?
We've been hearing a lot of good stuff about this film.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, talk a little bit about it. It's very ambitious. You went all over the place, and in different places, you kind of emphasize on that location versus the other. There's an international and a domestic version. Talk a little bit about it.
Sure. Well, I've been working on this film for about 8 years now.
Eight?
Yep.
Okay.
Unfortunately. I would have liked to bang it out in two. But
that's important, because a lot of people walk around these fancy little Canon cameras, and they're like, what are you doing? I'm doing a movie. When is it going to be done? Next week. It's like, really? You're doing a movie in a week? But yours was 8 years. That's the old-fashioned way. That means you really put time into it.
There was some pain, but there was some gain, too, because, yes, I was able to really think about the material, really process it, really get to know it on a deep level. And, you know, the basic premise of the film is to look at how people around the world use this common musical language of hip-hop as a form of social protest.
Right.
So my interest was in trying to go to places where there was some kind of an interesting conflict within the society, marginalization, maybe poverty, some, in this case of Israel and Palestine, you have civil war at play.
Right.
So I was kind of traveling to different hotspots, places where I thought there were interesting hip-hop scenes going on.
It's interesting. They just had a clip on MSNBC that they're sending around right now. Mm-hmm. Talk about how hip-hop influenced the Arab Spring, so to speak. When you see that happening, you know, what does that say to you? You know, what comes to mind?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, hip-hop has this basic thing where because it's language and because it's got a protest edge to it and an angry edge to it, that it has this really intuitive and quick way of being for people to be able to express their ideas and communicate their issues, their thoughts, their politics.
Right.
I'm not surprised at all about what happened in the Arab Spring based on what I've seen
right.
in the process of making my film.
What were some of the hot spots or key issues that you were zoning in on?
You know, the film goes through six different countries. So each country had sort of a different major issue at play. In the case of like France, it was really about the sort of new immigration, North Africans and Black Africans coming into Europe, and basically how is Europe dealing with that social change. In Germany, you kind of get, there's a different thing of, on the one hand you have that immigration, but then you have also these white East German kids from the east side of Germany,
right,
who are reacting in some cases violently towards the colored immigration that's coming in through the west mainly.
Are they using hip hop to express themselves?
That's what's interesting, is you have the white kids rapping and you have the immigrant kids rapping. So you have actually this sort of social conflict that's represented by rap on both sides.
I've seen that in Israel too.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Which I thought was very interesting. I mean, a lot of us, we know about groups like Damn and, you know, so many of the Palestinian rappers. And then, you know, recent years, and I don't know if that is because it was organic or if it was very sponsored, because we've seen sponsored groups come over from Israel that's like, whoa, you know, it's like, here's a hip-hop group, they're from Israel, and they're going, you know, they're throwing down. And some of them are actually pretty good. But, you know, I've also seen some that are definitely pro-Israel, pro-Zionist, that rap, and, you know, and boldly so, you know, MC Search from Third Base would be one of those, you know, folks that, you know, speaks that perspective. So when you see that, understanding that it's a protest, and many people would not necessarily see those who are in domination as protests using it, what does that say about the genre? What does it say about the culture now? And how do we parse that? How do you approach it?
I mean, it's complex. I mean, that particular, like the idea of a Zionist rapper, I find a little bit disturbing personally. You know?
Right.
The idea of a Hebrew rapper, Israeli Jewish rapper, no problem.
Right. Know?
But if the ideology is sort of one of, that I associate with a slight, personally associate with slightly, you know, oppressive ideology, it gives me, you know, it's a little bit difficult.
Right.
A little bit difficult, but you have to understand, I mean, it's a genre, it's a music, and can be used in a million different ways.
Right.
We've seen it here in the U.S. with, you know, gangster rap and other kinds of genres that maybe aren't particularly uplifting.
Right, or corporate-sponsored rap.
Corporate-sponsored rap, exactly. So it's kind of a multi-headed beast. I mean, it's probably, you know, although people tend to simplify it, I think, you know, hip-hop in a way is one of the most complex organisms you could look at.
Mm. You know, with this film, first of all, where have you shown it so far?
It's been kind of traveling the world.
Okay.
It's been all over Europe. It's been broadcast in Europe, but it kind of started its U.S. life, you know, a few months ago at the South by Southwest Music Festival.
Right. How's it been received?
It's been great. Okay. It's been great.
Who's some of the artists in there?
Yep.
Who are you going to see in the film?
Well, in the beginning, you're going to see a couple of old school guys from the Bronx, because the way I start the film is to basically give the audience a quick taste of how hip-hop was born.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be Grandmaster Caz from the Cold Crush Brothers and Busy Bee.
Okay, both good friends.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
I know them for a long time, okay?
Yeah, they're great guys, and they provide a like beautiful introduction to the
Caz
whole thing.
Caz is an underrated writer. You know, listen to Rapper's Delight, mm-hmm. and quite a few of those rhymes mm-hmm. is what Caz wrote and was never credited. But to this day, his penmanship is sharp. And Busy B, of course, being the ultimate party rocker, you know?
Yeah, he's actually the first MC here in the whole film.
Okay.
He gets things going in a really good direction.
That's a good choice right there.
Thanks.
So you're off to a good start, okay?
And there's a bit of archive of Bambaataa and of Herc. And then we get, once we leave the U.S., then it's a lot of international MCs, and some of whom may or may not be known. We have Les Nubians, mm-hmm. a soul R&B group from France. We have La Fouine and Kerry James, who are really important artists in France right now.
Mm-hmm.
In Germany, you've got Sava, Sido, Joe Rilla. You know, these are names that the U.S. audience may or may not know, but they're significant players in their milieu. In Israel, we have in Israel and Palestine, because we address the two as a unit, actually, in the film.
Okay. Has hip-hop been able to bridge gaps, or has it exasperated tensions?
Probably both is the answer, but I think it's bridged gaps. I think in the case of Israel and Palestine, although, yes, we talked earlier about there's some Zionist MCs.
Right.
But most of the Israeli Jewish or Hebrew language MCs are left-leaning, which means that they have empathy for the Arab-Palestinian cause. They may not agree 100% with, like, every, you know, statement coming out of that camp, but they're basically humanists who are looking for reconciliation and dialogue.
Right.
The majority of the Jewish MCs in Israel. And basically, because you have, within Israel, you have a large minority of Arabs, like Dam is actually...
They're thought of
as Palestinian MCs, but they live inside of Israel as Israeli citizens. So they live in the same country with the Jewish MCs, and they actually do a lot of concerts and shows where they share the same stage.
Mm.
Now, there's still tensions, and there's still, of course, the fact that musicians get together on stage doesn't necessarily mean that politicians and the societies fall in line with the brotherhood of the musicians are showing towards each other. But it's still a really positive, interesting dialogue.
You know, in many ways, when you look at what's been going on overseas, how do you contrast that to what's going on in the States? I mean, I remember when I was in Kenya, you know, people were like, yo, you know, they were disappointed in terms of what was being prominently presented. And they call it colonizing music. Said, you guys listen to colonizing music, referring to, like, the 50 cents of the world and all that. And I couldn't quite understand why we were in that vein when the folks that they admired, the dead presidents of the world, they thought that was more the mainstream. They thought that's what the majority was listening to. And when they found out it wasn't, they were like, what? You know, like, oh, wow, you all listen to colonizer music. We don't listen to that. We listen to these groups. And I didn't know if you found that to be, you know, how that played out in different parts of the world that you've been to.
Yeah.
I saw the same thing in Lebanon as well,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, y'all listen to this for real, you know. All this stuff on BET, y'all listen to this? And it's like, yeah, wow, what happened, you know?
Yeah, what happened, right. Yeah, no, that's so interesting what you say, and I definitely encountered that. Sometimes, you know, one of the funny things you would have is you'd have these people who would listen to, who didn't speak English, who'd been listening to American rap for years and years and years. And then one day someone would actually tell them what was being said in the lyrics, you know, and it would be this big slap in the face because they thought they were hearing something, you know, really revolutionary and political and uplifting.
Right.
And then they find out, oh, the guy's just talking about his girls and his cars, you know. So there's that kind of thing. I mean, by and large, I think what people saw overseas was they saw these angry minorities in the States rapping, and they didn't know necessarily what was being said. But I think people tended to infer that this was some kind of a social, political, revolutionary music.
Well, that was because, you know, the Public Enemies and Bambadas of the world had went out there and planted that seeds for so many years, that where it was kind of revolutionary. Mm-hmm. And so those seeds were planted, so they figure the mantle was being carried.
Yeah, I mean, I think those groups, those seminal groups that really started it overseas, kind of pushed the start of the movement in a certain direction overseas, which was tended to be more political. But the truth is, too, I mean, to be balanced and fair, you can find some pretty commercialized nonsense overseas as well, especially in Europe.
And in France, definitely.
France, yeah, in Germany, anywhere where there's a large industry behind it. I mean, most of the artists in France, and when French hip-hop started, you had a few independent labels. It was an underground movement. And within a few years, it started to make a lot of money. And then all the French subsidiaries of Sony and BMG and Universal and all the major labels started their own hip-hop imprints in France and Germany, and they basically took over. And the whole thing started pushing in a similar direction to the way it's gone here.
Has that accelerated since 2005 when they had the riots or the rebellions in France, and the government came out and basically blamed, you know, many of the artists, in particular Monsieur, you know, when they were like, you the reasons why, the cities are burning right now. Did they really step it up and try to move it in another direction since then?
I can't say for sure. I mean, I can definitely tell you that in France, as here, hip-hop has been vilified often as being, you know, the cause of various social ills. And that actually goes back. You mentioned, you know, Mr. R, who was blamed for the 2005 riots. But there was even earlier stuff in the late 90s, groups like NTM who were being prosecuted by, you know, federal prosecutors in France.
Speaking out against the police.
Yeah, basically they're inciting violence against the police or, you know, inciting criminal behavior, et cetera. So there's always kind of been that, you know, that trend towards, you know, blaming hip-hop, vilifying hip-hop as being the cause of the problems. That in many cases, of course, hip-hop is actually articulating and expressing those problems, not necessarily creating those problems.
Well, there you have it. We've been talking with Josh Little. He will be at the film festival, Fist Up Film Festival at La Peña tonight, starting about 7:30. His film, Furious Force of Rhymes, will be there, where he's showing what's going on in Germany, Senegal, Palestine, Israel, France, and, of course, here in the USA. Want you all to come out and enjoy the evening, you know. Do something positive.